and we can come to the Lord, come to the Lord's house and assemble with God's people. And there's just something special about that. In fact, it's God's will, amen. Speaking to an individual in a place of business yesterday, and he was talking about all about how, of course, he called him the man upstairs, was good to, been good to him, and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, well, surely he goes to church. And his wife was sitting close by, and I'd never met him before. And I said, well, where do you, I said, you go to church here, around here? And he said, no, I don't go to church. And his wife said, I've been trying to get him to go with us and so forth. And so it gave me an opportunity to give my testimony how I ran away from home over the desire to not go to church. Mom and Daddy wanted me to go, and that was understood the way it was around the house. And so I got to give my testimony about when I got saved, God changed my desire toward church. Went from running from it to running to it. And I'm glad for the many times over the past soon to be 39 years that God has literally rescued me. Go to church dragging, go to church down, go to church maybe with quitting on my mind, you know. But God would, through a testimony, a song, a preaching, whatever, Sunday school lesson, something, the Lord would speak to my heart, you know, and it'd be a turnaround. Well, I don't see how people make it without the Lord, and I don't see how people make it without church. And there are a lot that can go that don't, and there's some that would love to go. There's people that would love to go, and every time I think about that, I think about Miss Stapleton. I can't ever forget her. She's not the only one, but she stands out to me. Used to live just right here beside the church, and she was bedfast there for quite some time before she was promoted to glory. And she would cry every time I'd go see her. She'd weep and cry, preacher, pray. I want to go to church. I want to go to church. I love to go to church one more time, and never was able to go. And then you got people that lays out because their tooth is hurting or their toes are hurting or whatever. And I don't know. What gets in between you and church speaks volumes about your spiritual life. Amen. But do pray about these physical needs. There's several in our church that's got some physical things going on. And Miss Patsy, Brother Craig mentioned, Brother Fultz, looked like he's going to have double knee replacements as well. And so he's dreading that. And I don't know if you plan not to do that, both of them at once, I don't think. No. Brother Courtney, Brother Roy Courtney did that. He did both of them at once, and he said he was glad he did it because had he just done one, he probably would have never got the other one done. I don't know if that's encouraging you. You feel it? Do you feel edified? You read? But anyway, all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved, isn't it? That's right. We'd mentioned earlier, but it's good to have Charles Kennedy and his wife Sabrina. Good to have her, and of course, little Araya. Did I say it right? Araya, and she's back there looking at me. She's hollering, "Preach, preacher!" Amen. Good to have them with us in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to help them if we can. Amen. Be a blessing to them, and just watch God do a great work in their life. It's what my desire is. That's my purpose, amen, and that's my goal for sure, amen. All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, we started a few weeks ago I think we preached one message, and we dealt with the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I know that is a believer subject. I understand that. But I also want lost people to know, unbelievers to know, that you're also filled with something. Romans chapter 1, I wasn't even aiming to deal with that, but I'll just read it since that came out. Romans chapter number 1, and we know the context of the chapter. And he says in verse 24, we'll be in Ephesians 5 in just a minute, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working in that which is unseemly, or the word means indecent, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now listen to this verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled. Listen to that. Being filled. You say, why were they so wicked? They were full of wickedness. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, there's the word full again, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now we know clearly what that passage is identifying. It's identifying the sodomite, homosexual movement, the lesbian movement, women with women, men with men. And I don't care what CNN or none of the other media outlets say about it, that it's permissible and it's approved and it's all right, and I don't care what they say. That does not change the Bible. I don't care what the government says, the politicians say. I don't care what liberal preachers say. It doesn't change the Bible. The Word of God says what it means and means what it says. But the point I wanted to make is that the reason that they were receiving the judgment that they received was because the Bible said they were being filled with all unrighteousness. That shows me that the goal of sin is to fill you. Not to just be a little bit in your life, but to consume your life. That word fill has the idea of consumption, being controlled, being saturated, being consumed with it. And that's true for lost people. So if you're here tonight and you're lost, or someone listening that is lost, never been saved, I want you to know the devil's plot and plan for your life is to not just a little get you in a little, but to take you excessive. That's the nature of sin, is to go excessive, to go to where it consumes your life. Amen. I don't know why I'm feeling like preaching right there a minute, but you could go and find a lot of these people that live on the streets, live under bridges and things, and they didn't start out there. They weren't born there. They wound up there because they kept listening to the lie of the devil that would tell them that it won't hurt you to drink a little, it won't hurt you to smoke a little dope, it won't hurt you to snort a little and shoot up some, it won't hurt you to do these things. But the direction and destiny of sin is to consume your life to where there's nothing left. Now that's exactly right. And we know that as believers, and that ought to cause us to want to live for God more than ever, so we could show the lost and the dying world, show people that are listening to the lies of the devil, that you don't have to go that way. You don't have to do that. There's no joy found on the broad road that leads to destruction. And we that were in that were lost and up in years a little bit, we can testify how that we saw, but we didn't really see it happening as it was happening. But when we got saved and we looked back, we saw that progression. We saw it going from little to a lot. We saw it going from shallow to deep and from just little things to big things, and that we were still heading in that direction. And the devil will put just enough pleasure in your life with your sin. He'll put just enough pleasure in there to keep you hooked to where you don't think about the final end result. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is going to be an end to every choice and consequence that you make. But the devil's design and desire is to get you to the place where you are filled. And notice that statement there in Romans 1 is being filled. That is being. It's an ongoing action. Being filled. You're filled today, but you're going to be more filled tomorrow, and just controlled and consumed and corrupted to the point that, according to Romans chapter 1, when God turns them over to be a reprobate, there's no hope for them to be saved. That's exactly right. But you have a lot of preachers today, a lot of the famous preachers, that they wouldn't speak against it if their life depended on it, because it'd mess their paycheck up. Amen. That's a hireling, if you ask me. That's a hireling. They're not going to say anything about the wolf coming. But I'm not a hireling. RBT don't have hirelings in it. Amen. Well, anyway, let's look at Ephesians 5. I took up most of my time right there, but I wasn't even going to reference that verse, actually, to what I said there a moment ago, how that the devil wants you to be filled as a lost person, and you can find examples. I can't get off that. You can go in the Gospels and you can look at the life of Jesus as he made his journeys, daily journeys, Brother Craig, and you find him coming across people, contacting people, or else they were coming to find him. I thought about when he was coming off the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John was with him, come off the Mount of Transfiguration, and there met him at the base of the mountain. There met him a daddy. There met him a daddy that said, "My son's a lunatic. My son's a lunatic." And I don't have time. If I knew I was going to reference that, I'd have had all of it ready. But he said, "My son's a lunatic," and he gave description how that the spirit that was in him, the demonic spirits that were in him and controlling him, would throw him in the fire and would throw him, you know, in the water, and several attempts to destroy him. And he said, I brought him to thy disciples, but they couldn't help him. But Jesus did what man couldn't do. But there in that illustration shows the intent of the devil to take your life to the ultimate. Take your life to the place of consumption and corruption. Amen. And that's it. And you can't win. You say, I can't get off of that. I can't handle it, preacher. I can handle it. I'll just make sure that I don't go that deep. You will follow your pleasure. The devil, I said it a minute ago, he will add enough pleasure to your experience to blur your vision and to cause you to have an element of dumbness to where you cannot think right about the direction and destiny that you're on. I referenced the people that live in under bridges, and it was their addictions that put them there. You know that's right. They're addictions that put them there. And they never intended to be there. They intended to just do enough to, you know, to go around with the partying crowd. But that little turned into a lot. A little leaven. There's another example of the nature of sin. It starts out little. A little leaven will leaveneth the whole lump.
You play with sin and you can't handle it. I couldn't handle it. And you can't handle it. Your children can't handle it. Amen. And the devil's willing. I'm not going to try to get off of it. I'm just going to preach because I'm on it. And I know I've got that witness in my heart. But let me ask you this. Let me just mention this. The devil is willing to wait 80, 90 years for your destruction. He doesn't want to just accomplish it. If he can accomplish it when you're 16 years old, if he can accomplish it when you're 20, oh, he'll take it. Oh, yeah. If he can take your life out and amen, take your life out early, he'll do it. He liked that. But he's willing, he's very patient. He's willing to just chip away and tempt away and just to entice away to the point that little by little he weakens you, little by little he gets you interested to where it may be at the end of your life that you come to the reality that sin has destroyed you. And I don't know of one thing on planet Earth except the church that's got the answer, that's got the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And to whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We know the truth, amen. And we can testify that just as sin wanted to take you and fill you and consume you and control you and corrupt you and literally ultimately destroy you, I want to tell you, when you get saved, God has a plan of taking you from a little to a lot. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The difference is between Ephesians 5 being filled and Romans 1 being filled is that one will corrupt you, consume you, and kill you. Amen. And take you to hell. Amen. But all the being filled in Ephesians 5 is a believer's verse. Romans 1 is a lost man's verse. Amen. And God is able. God, listen, if we could get a hold of that tonight, that the very idea of being filled with the Spirit is that if something's filled, there's no more room for anything else. God wants to consume our life. God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to get so big that there's no room left for anything else. Amen. Very few people in their lifetime as Christians will ever know what it is to be filled with the Spirit. They'll never know. They'll know. Of course, every believer knows what it is to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're not saved according to the Scripture. But most of the majority of professing Christians will never know what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And it wasn't because they couldn't. It wasn't because their circumstance was too complicated. It wasn't because the world is so wicked. And it is wicked. Our country's in a mess. Are y'all listening? But you know what? The Bible said about Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 that Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was in a world that hated him. Everywhere he went, people was trying to lie on him and call him names and everything, you know, just use him. They weren't interested in receiving him for who he was. They just wanted to use him to feed their hunger, to heal their sick, and so on. But yet in spite of the devil, in spite of all that was going on around him, the Bible said he was full of the Holy Ghost. You can't blame the external. You can't blame our world. You can't blame the situations. You can't blame the circumstances of life for the believer, any believer, young or old, not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 1, if they're filled with all unrighteousness, that's sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, if we are not filled with the Spirit of God, that is sin. Most people don't view it as that. We would never say it, but the truth is, Brother Frankie, we live as though being filled with the Spirit is optional. But it is not optional. It's a command. It's given in a very strong force in the Scriptures. Being filled. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Right there, in fact, verse number 18 shows that same thing that I've been preaching on thus far. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That's the whole direction of sin, is to take you to the excess. That's the whole avenue of it. Amen. Of course, we believe against even social drinking. You'd be shocked in our day how many churches don't think there's nothing wrong with social drinking. And I've been in some heated discussions on the Facebook and different things about that subject. Amen. That's right. You'll never take the Word of God and prove that it's okay to just social drink. The only thing wrong is the excessive. When you go to the excessive, you know, binge drinking and becoming a sot and all of that. No. If a lot's wrong, little's wrong. Amen. Let me give you an example of that. How many of you would come and hear me preach if I didn't cuss but just a little? Maybe 2 or 3 words a week, maybe. Brother Fultz, would you be interested in hearing me preach if I stopped by your shop and you heard me say some words that wasn't Christian? You wouldn't be here, would you? And I wouldn't blame you a bit. But what would be the difference of just 1 or 2 words here and there than for me to just have an absolute foul mouth that, 9 out of every 10 words is a filthy something? What's the difference? Little or lot? What about if you just lied every once in a while versus lying all the time? You wouldn't want to hear me if I lied to you just, well, occasionally. Miss Debbie, would you? You would have no confidence in me if you caught me in a sure enough, definite, factual lie. Your confidence would be shaken and probably destroyed in me. What? Wouldn't take 10, wouldn't be lying all the time. Preacher Rack doesn't, I better not say it because somebody can take and just edit some of this preaching, and Preacher Rack admitted over there on Wednesday night he's a liar. But no, I'm giving an illustration. And I didn't mean to get on that social drinking mess, but we're against it. You're not right with God. Amen, if you do that. That's right. And but anyway, I don't know how that fit in there, but being filled with the Spirit of God is also have that same direction. The Spirit of God is not satisfied with just being in you. The Spirit of God is not content, Brother Aaron, to just be dwelling in you. And there's a difference between the indwelling and an infilling. There's a difference. Amen? Oh, my goodness. And he desires to go to the excess. He desires to go to the ultimate, to where he consumes your life. Amen. Oh, let me say there. Let me just say right there. With Romans chapter 1, I already mentioned that with that being filled with all unrighteousness is accompanied with just a little bit of pleasure, enough pleasure that would keep a person hooked. I believe this with all my heart, that pleasure is the power of sin. If there was no pleasure in sin, nobody would ever be addicts. Nobody would ever go to the excess. But I believe with all of my heart that when the Spirit of God on the for the believer, when the Spirit of God is, amen, and of course that has to be with your consent. The Spirit of God won't come in without your consent, and the Spirit of God won't fill you, control you, saturate you, consume you, use you without your consent. Amen. But there are also going to be a great element of pleasure with that. It's not all uphill. It's not all hard times. It's not all a battle. It's not all a burden. It's not all, amen, that's right. And there are times it is that way. There are times that it's a pull. There is a time that we're weighted down with a load. There is a time that there's battles, and there is a time like that. But thank God, there's times when the wave will white cap. There's times when God will cut the honey tree over in your soul. There's times that God, hallelujah, will let you get behind the veil and worship. God will fill your life with pleasure. Amen. And joy. But I wonder how many of us are living that way. I wonder how many of us are living that way. You know what most of us are doing? Most of us are living the enduring phase. We're just enduring. Amen. And sinners know that. Sinners see that. Of course, enduring's better than quitting. But that should not be the only two options, endure or quit. Or endure or exit, if you wanted to remember it that way. That's not the only option. The other option is enjoy. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said that, of course, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full, and if, amen, if he needed to be full of the Spirit, you better believe we do. And if he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible said that he, there in Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He had joy enduring the cross. That wasn't physical. That was spiritual. That was coming from the Holy Spirit of God that had filled him, empowered him, controlled him. Amen. Listen, I don't know what we're all going to be facing, and you don't either, but I'll tell you this. Apart from being filled with the Spirit of God, there's a likelihood we're not going to make it through the valleys and hard times that's up ahead. That's right. I'm not trying to get political right here, but I know this. The same trend, the same wind that's blowing against our First Amendment rights and all of those things, I want to tell you that same direction can move from one amendment of the Constitution to another, to it takes free speech and takes away, amen, all kinds, until the next thing you know, we're under the thumb of a tyrannical government. Amen. I wonder how many if we was like they are in like China. You know, I'm not going to mention his name, but we support some missionary efforts, I'll leave it at that, in that region. Undercover, underground. My goodness. I wonder how many of us would do that. I've had them to talk to me, and I just, my heart goes, just them telling about what they have in their suitcases. And they're going through the check-in at the airport. They're going through the security thing at the airport with stuff that they could be thrown in jail with. Lord, help us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will energize us, cause us to stand, have a boldness. How many times through the book of Acts do you find and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word with boldness. The Spirit of God will give you a backbone. The Spirit of God will give you courage. The Spirit of God will give you what you don't have in the flesh. Give you, amen, where you can stand even if you're alone, even if you're by yourself, even if you know the consequences are going to be great, even if you know that the Spirit of God more than equals, more than balances it out in your heart of what you need. That's the only way you can explain it when you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you read those people that listen, was burned at the stake and went out of here in glory, praising the Lord out of the flames. Now you tell me that's natural? There's no way that's natural. Daniel throwed in the lion's den? No. The den of lions. That's the difference. Lion's den means it's a lion's den, but the lions may not be at home. But a den of lions, that means they're at home. And he was thrown into a den of lions, and next thing you know, he's asleep. Huh? You find Peter in the prison in Acts, the book of Acts. He's fast asleep with the potential thought that tomorrow I will be killed like James was. But he was fast asleep that when the angel sent to get him out, couldn't even get him awake. Oh my, the Spirit of God is more than enough than what you and I need. Anyway, I didn't get nowhere where I wanted to get, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe it's the greatest need in my life. I believe it's the greatest need in your life. And there's without a doubt tonight, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it is certainly not a preacher thing. Some people think that, Miss Jim, being filled with the Spirit of God is just a preacher thing. Or if you're teaching, or if you've got some kind of an office, or if you're... No, it's a believer thing. If I were to ask in here, how many of you are saved, and it don't matter how old the youngest is or how old the oldest is, if you can raise your hand, I'm saved, you are a candidate, not only a candidate, but it's a requirement for you to be filled, saturated, controlled, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never do the work of God. You'll never do the will of God. You'll never be able to carry out the Word of God, amen, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. In 2020, I don't know of anything that we need worse. You say, preacher, we need to pray. I agree with that. And we all fail at that. But I want to tell you, you'll never pray apart from the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's how we're told to pray. Amen. Make your supplications known in the Spirit. Pray in all. Listen, pray in. Jude talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever prayed with the Spirit of God anointing you to pray? We've all just prayed. Go through the phrases and say the words. But I'm talking about you get hooked up. I know that's not found in the Bible, that terminology. But that's the best way I can define it. It's you get hooked up. It's like that plug-in over there on the wall. You can have a piece of machinery or some kind of something that runs off of electricity, and it don't matter how much potential it's got. It doesn't matter what capabilities it's got. It is useless until it gets plugged in. And so if you've ever prayed and the Spirit of God anoint you to pray and you know that you've got the ear and the attention of God as you are addressing heaven, I'm going to tell you there's a difference, friend. There's a difference than just mechanically going through some, amen. I'd like for sometime on a Wednesday night when we have altar prayer that normally won't last 10 minutes. I'd like to see God sit down on us one time. I'd like to see God sit down on us one time till we forget about how tired we are and we forget about what the clock is and we forget about it and we get caught up in the liberty of the Holy Ghost to pray. Amen. We're hooked up. We've got God's audience. We've got God's attention and we're praying. Amen. But we've got so mechanical to where we can just go through a little rut routine quickly and get up and we're on our way. God help us. We need to be filled. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost if we're going to make a difference. The status quo is not going to get the job done in our day. Being like the majority is not going to get the job done. No. Miss Candy gave testimony Sunday about the performers. She's talking about those that, you know, perform. And she told me after the service, if I can remember it, she said that something about one of the worst conditions you could have is where you got a whole bunch of performers on the same task or something to that effect. She said because they won't, they're in competition. If they're all performers, they'll be competing. And you're not going to ever get any quality out of competition because they're not interested in quality. They're interested in just outdoing him and her and them and rising up and be the best one. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't know all about where the Lord's going to take us with this, but the Lord's been speaking. I didn't deal with nothing that I studied and prepared for tonight. But that's all right. The Lord changed the direction. I prayed even in the altar of prayer. I said, Lord, you just guide my thoughts. You just guide my thoughts. You know what I've been studying. You know what I've been meditating on. You know what I've been thinking. You lead me. You guide me what you want me to deal with. And then Romans chapter 1 pops in my mind as soon as I get in the pulpit. Being filled with all unrighteousness. And compare that or contrast that to Ephesians 5:18 of being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I pray you challenge us. I pray, dear Lord, you'd help us to be hungry. Lord, we'll never be filled with the Spirit until we desire it. And Lord, I pray you'll whet our appetite. Forgive us, Lord, for being content with such a low level of spirituality, a low level of power, a low level of praise, a low level of effort, a low level of accomplishments, Lord, a low level of successes. Lord, forgive us, God, when we could have more, we could be more, we could do more. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us, dear God, to realize that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a personal thing. I can be filled with the Spirit of God no matter what other people are doing or not doing. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to be hungry for that, to desire that. Lord, whatever it takes, God, that we would have a church that would be a powerhouse for the Lord, that we could make a difference in this world. May your will be done, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.